At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hey everyone, welcome back to The Promised Land, the Manchester United podcast, reflecting on a 1-1 draw with Chelsea in the Premier League on Sunday. Ruud van Nistelrooy could not get his first win in the league anyway, because he did win in the League Cup against Leicester last week. Could not get his first win in the Premier League. He's got two shots at it. He plays Leicester again next weekend. But at least United didn't lose 3-0 at home to a big six rival. Hey, let's take the positives out of this. It was not a good game of football, I will say that. I think United's players look a little bit lost, and Chelsea's players, who've been playing quite well, probably shot themselves in the foot a bit and didn't really rise to the occasion well enough, because United were there for the taking. Although you probably could say that United had really good chances to win, and with a little bit more composure on another day, maybe they would have done. But obviously this team, as we have learned so far this season and through last season and through maybe the season before, composure is not a strong point at most times with this team. But yeah, a big chance for Bruno Fernandes. Alejandro Garnacho caught some criticism as well, and I'll talk about him a little bit today, because I feel like that is something that should be addressed. Ruben Amorim, who is the new head coach, incoming head coach, has been talking, saying that he's going into a much more challenging situation in Manchester when he does end up joining. It's a week today, as I record this, until his first day. So that's quite exciting, isn't it? But Ruud van Nistelrooy is in charge. Until then, two more games left for him against Pauk in the Europa League on Thursday night, and then Leicester City, as I just mentioned, next Sunday. And then that is it for Ruud van Nistelrooy in temporary charge, although he's made it very, very clear that he would like to stay on and be part of Ruben Amorim's staff. How that's going to happen, I don't know. They'll have to talk. And he has not spoke to him yet, as he confirmed after the game yesterday. But yes, this is the Promised Land podcast. Please subscribe on all your major podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, etc. YouTube as well, the Promised Land and Manchester United podcast. Please subscribe, leave a comment, and like the video as well. It was a weird one yesterday. It was a weird one because I think maybe I was expecting there to be a little bit more fire in the team. You know, I think maybe the crowd expected that as well. But what we got really was just a kind of the same as usual, with a little less openness, I guess. I think the players didn't really seem to have a clue what they were doing. No real tactical structure. And you can't put the blame on Van Nistelrooy for that. There didn't seem to be much of a plan or confidence of how to execute the plan. And I think that was pretty evident. And I said at one point, I think United's best way of scoring here was just to go vertical. You know, I think that's where maybe they were best, when they had the ball at the base of their defense and they just passed it directly forward or out wide and just got the ball forward as quickly as possible. It ended up with a penalty being given for Robert Sanchez's poor tackle or poor attempt to save the ball on Rasmus Højlund. And Bruno dispatched it. But I think United played a little bit better when the game was more open towards the end, and maybe they could have snatched it, like I say. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, Chelsea are in good nick. They're in good form. I think both teams maybe will come away from that thinking we could have won it. And look, I think the important thing there was that United didn't lose it. It's really defeatist to say, because we should always be holding up United to the standard of winning like every game and every home game. But unfortunately, that's just not the real place that we're in at the moment. That's not realistic to expect. And especially off the back of losing your manager against a team that, you know, Chelsea have shown that they can score goals this season. They are, you know, really dangerous. They've got a lot of energy in their midfield. Moises Caicedo, you can start to see now why Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea, all these big teams wanted him and why Chelsea paid as much money as they did for him. That's the kind of midfielder, really, that I think is the envy of a lot of clubs in football and in the Premier League. There's a big clamour for him and Chelsea got him and he's starting to come into his own. United probably could do with some work in that area. Manuel Ugarte, you know, I think he's getting a bit of criticism. Garnacho's getting a bit of criticism. A few players are. But I think I just wanted to say, really, just it is what it is. And it's not really the time to just go and expect these players to deliver amazing performances. You know, I think we can give a lot of criticism to the players. Bruno Fernandes said in his post-match yesterday that he apologized to Erik ten Hag, which was interesting to the obvious criticism of Roy Keane. Well, you should have done it on the pitch when it mattered, shouldn't you, instead of apologizing later. I kind of get that point of view. But, you know, I think these players need a set of instructions and a plan that is easy to deliver. Not easy to deliver, but easy to understand and to become familiar with delivering. And before I started this, I was actually listening to a clip of Morten Humland from Sporting Lisbon, who plays for Amorim, and he admitted that he joined for Ruben Amorim. He joined that club because of Ruben Amorim, and he essentially said that Amorim's instructions and his tactical plan, how he sees the game, is very, very clear, and he communicates it well, and he explains how you fit into that plan. And I think that's what these United players need, because evidently it wasn't clear enough, or the plan wasn't good enough under the previous manager who's lost his job. So I think Van Nistelrooy, in the meantime, with the news already being out there that he was not getting the job, you know, I think maybe that took a little bit of wind out of his sails a little bit. But look, I think there's no time for sentiment here. The club have to have a plan. They've acted on the plan, and we just have to wait another week for it. And Amorim can get his feet under the table, get on the training pitch, and then he has about 2 weeks, really, to work with the non-international players and start getting some ideas across. And we will find out this week which of the United players have been called up for international duty. But with a lot of them out of form, maybe this is a good time. Maybe they won't. There's some injuries as well, obviously. Maybe this is a good time for Amorim to join next week, because a lot of the players are playing that badly that they're actually not representing their international teams. So, you know, it's time for a fresh start. It's not the ideal timing, but yeah, it's in the meantime, in this week moving forward, it's about just trying to keep it ticking over, and ultimately a draw is better than a 3-0 home defeat to a big six rival, which is what we've become accustomed to from Man United at Old Trafford this season, with Liverpool and Spurs going to Old Trafford and winning 3-0. So good stuff, really. Not perfect, I will say, but two more games now, and fingers crossed Ruud van Nistelrooy can secure two wins against opposition that are, like, obviously weaker than Chelsea. They just beat Leicester and scored five past them, even though that was the rotated team. So hopefully 3 points on the board there and 3 points on the board in the Europa League on Thursday, and the feeling can change a little bit. United are 13th in the league, though. And obviously the players, this is what I wanted to talk about today. The players have been getting a bit of stick, and it's frustrating. I know that. I understand that. I was watching, and it is annoying seeing things like, I tweeted this, which was, you can follow me, by the way, on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, TikTok, and Instagram. I tweeted during the game yesterday because it happened, and I'm sure there's probably a few of you who noticed this as well. How when an opposition team has a shot at United's goal and Andre Onana saves it, or a cross comes in and Andre Onana collects it, and the TV goes to a replay, the replay lasts about 10, 20 seconds or 15 seconds or whatever it is. I don't know how long exactly, but let's say 10 seconds. And by the time the replay ends and the action or the footage is back on what's actually happening in the match, the other team have the ball. That's how crap United are at retaining the ball. And it's really, really, really annoying. But also, that is probably something that Ruben Amorim will be looking to address. They give up the ball way too easily, way too easily. Andre Onana always goes long. It's not great, is it? I think United need to start playing up from the back and making sure that they take better care of the ball. And, you know, look, that's not been something that they've been good at over the last few years. And I think the way that Ten Hag wanted to play was big on transition. And that was never really fixed. United were never a team that could have 60%, 65%, 70% possession and dominate a game of football. It was always end-to-end basketball. And that will be a big change. It will be a big, big change to make for Amorim. Let's see how quickly he can get it across with his new system and the way he communicates. But that's frustrating. Obviously, there was a moment at the end where Bruno Fernandes had the ball kind of, it was towards the end of the game, the very end of the game. It kind of bounced to him in, on the edge of the box, and he had an opportunity to take a touch and, you know, have a shot at goal and maybe hit the target potentially and score. Instead, I think he saw the lights. He saw his name up in lights. He saw the moment. He saw the virality of the moment. And it bounced up so nicely for him to hit a volley. And he rushed it and absolutely skied it. And that sent me, honestly, I try and keep a cool head on this podcast, but I shouted at the TV and I was like, what are you doing? Have a bit of composure. Composure was completely lacking yesterday. Composure has been completely lacking for a long time. They've scored 9 goals in 10 games in the Premier League. The worst start to a Premier League season for Manchester United ever, I believe. And, you know, if you're not scoring goals, that's going to happen, isn't it? And I think Bruno Fernandes was guilty of that. I think the main one, though, has been Alejandro Garnacho, the criticism around him. And I just wanted to make a point of, sticking up for him in a sense, because yeah, look, I was frustrated. Yeah, he had a bad game. Yeah, Casemiro shouted at him. He didn't track back. And Casemiro, we know that he's not the fastest guy. He doesn't have the biggest engine. He doesn't want to be tracking back and running forwards and running backwards and doing all this. He lost the ball off, I believe, Pedro Neto. And Pedro Neto ran down the right wing. Garnacho didn't chase, having lost the ball or gave up his chase. And that meant Casemiro had a chase. He ended up fouling him. Casemiro then shouts at Garnacho, presumably because he was careless with the ball and didn't chase back. I don't exactly know what he said, but you can guess. You can guess what he said, and he was not happy. And, you know, Garnacho came back. He was blowing a little bit. And, you know, I think that's maybe an encapsulation of the kind of difficulty the midfield has to deal with. And that's an indication of how wasteful that the wingers are. There was another moment in the game, which has been screen grabbed, where, and I saw this a mile off as well, because I was watching it on TV. Garnacho had the ball on the left side. Ahmad was kind of running through the middle, and one simple pass would have played him in. And Ahmad's quite quick, so maybe he would have got a chance through on goal. Maybe he would have been caught up and, you know, but whatever. I think the ball wasn't moved into the right position at the right time, if at all. It wasn't. Garnacho didn't look up and he didn't make the right selection. He didn't make the pass. And yeah, that's frustrating as well, because we all see it, we all watch it, and we think we're conditioned really to, you know, sweeping from end to end and wanting to see United, you know, make riveting passages of play and excite us. And that's kind of what we've been built on over the past 30 years or whatever, maybe not the last 10, but the 20 before that. And that's what we become accustomed to. And that's a tradition. That's a hallmark of the team. And if you're not looking up and giving the ball at the right moment, then you lose those opportunities and it's frustrating. And I understand that it's frustrating. And it was frustrating for me as well, but let's also look at this and think. I've been plenty critical of the players, right? I have been, and maybe even to a fault at times, as people have pointed out to me. But, you know, I looked at it yesterday and I kind of felt that they were lost in a sense, and they need a plan. And there's some players in that team who are young. Like, really, really young. And this is the point I wanted to make about Garnacho. Frustrating, yes. He had a bad game. Of course he did. The kid's 20 years old. He's 20 years old. I'm just going to Google this now to make sure that he is. But I'm pretty sure that Garnacho is 20 years old. Let's see. Yeah, 20 years old. Turn 20 in July. And he recently, I think, made his 100th appearance for United. By 20. And look, right? Look, he's got a lot of potential. He was a stand-up player in the youth team. He was brought in and he's been overused to a point. You know, he's essentially the guy who gets more playing time at the moment anyway than Marcus Rashford, than Ahmad, than all of the wide players. And he's one of the mainstays of the team. And he's 20 years old. I often think, like, when I was getting into football and, you know, I come through the era where I started watching United in the mid-90s, like 95-ish, I think, around that time. And, like, obviously, I loved Eric Cantona. I think I remember, you know, his comeback against Liverpool after his ban. And obviously, that was, by that point, I'd started watching it. A lot of the team that were, who were in, you know, that generation of players, the class of 92, I forgot what we were called then, the class of 92, I think they were just getting into the team. The changes by Ferguson had been made earlier. You know, the big risk had been taken. And I saw all of these players in the team and I just becoming accustomed to it. Eric Cantona was the one for me. But then I think back to like David Beckham. And I think how David Beckham went out on loan to like Preston North End. And I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit off here, but he didn't really become like the guy until he was about 23. And look, maybe things are off here, but he was breaking through and having good moments. And he obviously had that that commitment and that ability. And I think he massively, massively underrated David Beckham. And I'm not comparing him to David Beckham. I'm just saying, trying to give you the context of the age of these players and how so much more nowadays is expected of 19, 18, 20 year olds because of the standards that have been set by other players, because of the standards that were set by Messi when he was 16 or Wayne Rooney when he was 16. And obviously these players then shine from the very beginning. Arguably Wayne Rooney at 18 was the best version of Wayne Rooney we saw, you know? So when you're Alejandro Garnacho or something and you're 20 years old, it's easy to forget that he is only 20 and he has a ton of things to learn and he has a ton of things to get right and to work on. And getting your head up and making the right decision is something that comes with experience. I know he's played 100 games, as I just said, but that takes time. Like, it takes maturity. It takes reps. It takes lots of repetitions and lots of experience in matches and making sure that you develop like this kind of a coldness. I say cold. Cole Palmer was on the other team. He's notably, you know, a player that has been really, really cold. That's kind of where the name comes from, and that's what sets him apart from other players. But he's 22. He's been doing that for about a year, you know. And Garnacho, before that, he was pushing the City team and he couldn't get in it. That's why he left City. So there are players like that who...
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for. Social security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even Cole Palmer, like, you know, he's showing all these qualities which are really good and really amazing, but he's a little bit older than this guy, than Garnacho. And I think in the constant, you know, we've all been starved of success and we all want to see success immediately. And obviously that's natural because it's United, but it's, you got to think like Mainoo, Garnacho, other players that are going to be drafted into this team, and like Lenny Yoro as well, he's young. Like, these players are going to need time. They're going to need big match experience. They're going to need rest at the right times. They're going to need to be protected at the right times because of the pressure at United is so massive. And I'm sure, being the age that he is, Garnacho probably sees a lot of the criticism that he's going to get and probably is getting from the performance yesterday. And you think then, like, what does that do for your confidence? I think one of the big things we praise Garnacho for is just getting up and going again. And memory like a fish, I think people say. Memory like a fish, because he just keeps getting up and he keeps going. And that's an admirable quality that he's got. But he had a bad game yesterday. And young players are going to have bad games. You know, I think it's... We live in a world of social media nowadays, and that's kind of where I'm taking this from. So if you're not on social media, then good. You know, it can be plenty toxic at times. But I think I just wanted to say that, especially in his case, yes, he had a bad game, but lay off him a little bit. Lay off him a little bit. And there are other senior pros in this team that need to be taking the burden on. And you can only give credit to Garnacho, really, for showing how brave he is and showing how much of a... you know, how much he's willing to take on. He's got plenty to work on, but we should remember, God, think about what I was like at 20, you know? And then having to deal with all, like, he's a professional footballer, having to deal with all this noise. And it must be difficult, you know? So I think we live in a world nowadays where it's so easy to criticize. You sit on, you know... You sit watching TV with your phone in your hand and you're, you know, talking about the match that you see in front of you and putting it out into the abyss in social media, and things get picked up, noise gets picked up, and like narratives form and this kind of thing. And look, these players are social media savvy nowadays, and they're integrated within it. And that's how they've been brought up. They live within it, and that's the way it is. And like, all the criticism these players get is probably bound to affect them. So no, I think maybe the message from me here is just think before. No, players are going to have difficult moments and bad performances, especially when they're 18, 19, 20 years old. And even a lot of the best players that you see today by Garnacho's age were not doing it at Garnacho's age. Remember Cristiano Ronaldo. That's the other example. The other example, when Ronaldo joined, 18, 19, 20 years old, Ronaldo was frustrating as hell. He was. And that, again, I'm not comparing Garnacho to Ronaldo. But if you compare their first couple of years, each of them, and their productivity in the United States, it's pretty similar. And some of the frustrations around Ronaldo that we had at the time were that he was not making the right decisions or that he was dribbling too much. Ruud van Nistelrooy himself was a critic of Ronaldo at the time. I think he regrets it now, but he was a critic of Ronaldo because he wouldn't get the ball in for a cross when the striker was ready. It was always on Ronaldo's terms when he was crossing the ball. So it takes time. And I think Garnacho, look, he's going to be an integral part of Ruben Amorim's team. I'm pretty sure he is. Don't know where he'll play yet, whether he'll end up in one of the wing-back positions or one of the positions just off the striker, if Amorim even goes with that formation. You bloody well hope he does. You got to hope he does. But, you know, it's important to have patience. And look, I'm seeing a lot of criticism for Garnacho. He won't always be like that. He's going to have bad games. And it's important for people to remember the context and remember the age of the kid and remember how much work he's got to do. I'm sure he knows it himself as well. But that's the point I wanted to make on Garnacho, because I've seen a lot of the noise around it. It's just a little bit frustrating. And look, I think this is a time where even the most experienced players in a United team feeling a little bit lost. You know, these terms about system players, and Phil Foden's a system player. He doesn't do it for England, but he does it for Pep. Well, yes, he's playing in a team that has a system, and Pep has been massive on the way that he plays and the style of football that he plays. That's why he's been so successful. You take a player like Phil Foden out of that team and put him in the England team where there isn't the same processes and he doesn't perform as well. A lot of these United players, evidently, based on the Ten Hag decision, a lot of these United players don't even have that at club level. United are striving for it at club level. So, look, I think I watched the game yesterday and I thought, yeah, this is frustrating. Yeah, it's annoying. Yeah, there's some mistakes being made. But at the same time, you can't really judge at this point. Because even Ruud van Nistelrooy knows his fate, in the sense of he's not going to have a good crack at being the head coach for the permanent position. So that's where it is. United are in a little bit of a period of, you know, they're in the middle period a little bit until things actually kick off and start changing. And that's in a week's time, but they just have to keep it ticking over until then. But yeah, Ruben Amorim has been speaking and he essentially said, you know, all the chat about West Ham that's come up over the past few months, he went to London to have negotiations with West Ham. He essentially rubbished that and said he went to go and meet with the owner of West Ham or the person in charge of the team. No talks at all. I think he plays Man City tomorrow or Wednesday. And Pep Guardiola versus Ruben Amorim part one, I want to say, in their careers, is set for tomorrow. It is tomorrow. Real Madrid, AC Milan, Liverpool, Bayer Leverkusen. Sporting versus Man City in Lisbon should be an interesting one for us to sink our teeth into. So Amorim's been speaking, and there's some other developments as well. When Amorim comes in next week, I have seen over the past couple of days that convenient, but and we wait and see how this is going to play out, but I have seen, and I'm taking this from different places, I saw the two left backs, I think it was back end of last week, but Luke Shaw, Terrell Malacia, and Lenny Yoro could all be ready for the game at Ipswich, for Ruben Amorim's first game. And you probably, if I remember rightly, Kobbie Mainoo's injury was going to keep him out for the entirety of this block of matches, with a view to him being back after the international break. So fingers crossed United get their players back, but it's just funny timing, isn't it? It's funny how it works. But look, I think we want a clean bill of health or as close as we can get to it as early as possible. And I think, look, if everyone can be ready, or as many players as possible can be ready for that first game at Ipswich in Amorim's first game, and have that time on the training ground with the manager, head coach, in the lead up to that game to understand the processes as best as they can, then fantastic. It's not going to be perfect straight away, but United are crying out at the moment for some focus, some instructions, some direction. And that's pretty evident. And look, it was a difficult watch against Chelsea yesterday, but you know, we only have another week left. And like I say, two matches of Ruud van Nistelrooy. So they're both home games as well, if I'm not mistaken. So just if you're at Old Trafford, if you get into Old Trafford, let's try and make as much noise for Ruud van Nistelrooy as possible, because I think what the situation that he's been in is a difficult one. I think the situation that he has been dealt, obviously coming in to replace a manager with confidence on the floor, is difficult. He looks fantastic, by the way, in his roll neck. Absolutely fantastic. Looks like a manager. It's great to see him in there. It's great to see him celebrating goals. And look, I think he's one of this century's like big favorites. There's been a lot of United players who fall into that category, but Ruud van Nistelrooy scored a hell of a lot of goals for United. And it's really nice to see him get a chance to sit on the touchline or stand on the touchline and see goals go in, like Casemiro's goal against Leicester or Bruno's penalty where he's celebrating it. And, you know, it's nice to see him get that. I think we can probably say now that he's not going to get that chance permanently unless he goes away. And at any point in the future, unless he goes away, has an ace club career somewhere else and proves himself as being worthy of that job on a permanent basis. But, you know, what the club have done is the right thing. Ruud van Nistelrooy is sitting in there and doing his best at the moment to bring the team forward. And I think it's nice to see him there. So I think that's mainly what I wanted to say on him. And obviously, look, this pod as well, I keep it relatively short today because there's a lot. There's not too much to unpack yesterday, I guess. It was a bad game of football. It was a bad game of football. And I'm sure that there will be plenty more to come over the next few days with Ruben Amorim. The day's getting closer, and obviously there's a game where I think a lot of people, as I just mentioned, will be watching Sporting versus City to try and take something from, or try and take an understanding of how he's going to play against a big team like that. I say big team, a strong team like that, especially against Pep Guardiola, because you think that Amorim will be, you know, he'll have a game plan for that game itself, but I think he's more flexible to changing it than maybe other managers have been. But they've knocked Arsenal out of Europe in the past under Amorim. They've given Tottenham a hell of a game. And I think seeing Sporting play Man City is going to be, especially off the back of two defeats as well. Imagine he can get that win. Good grief. Just hope he doesn't lose 7-0, as I said on the last podcast, and then give the media an entire week's worth of, or maybe even 3 weeks worth of mockery ahead of his first game. But like, look, the impression that Amorim's made already is really good. He talks very well. I love his honesty. The fact that he came out the other day and said, look, I wanted to stay at Sporting. I wanted to see the season out and then join United later. But Ashworth and Berarda told me it was now or never. If you don't take it now, we'll go with someone else. And I had a decision to make. I love that. I love that freshness. I love that honesty. And that kind of honesty and that clarity of communication, I think, is something that United fans need, that the media needs, and that the players need as well, with the tactical instructions they'll have to implement on the pitch. And another point I wanted to make, actually, just before I go. I'm seeing, United should go and raid Sporting. Like, sign this centre-back, sign this midfielder, sign this wing-back, sign Gyökeres. He's amazing, by the way. If you have not seen Victor Gyökeres, watch some of his goals from the other night and watch how cleanly and how hard he strikes a ball. It is amazing. But I think the point here, and I said it the other day, the point I would like to make again is it's about time that United stopped throwing money consistently at a player or who is from the club the manager used to manage. Haven't we seen enough of that with Erik ten Hag? Hasn't that got enough criticism? And I'm sure, right, that there are players in that team like Gyökeres, like Inacio, like Hjulmand, like all of these players who could come in and do a hell of a job for United. I'm sure that's the case in a Ruben Amorim system. But the first port of call here and the first job, maybe it's requiring Amorim a little bit to work with his hands tied behind his back and maybe I'm vocal and asking for this, and maybe that's wrong, but I want to see Ruben Amorim come in and make a difference on the squad that's currently there. Because I don't think the squad that's currently there, it's been a big point of debate, by the way. I don't think the squad that's currently there are as bad as this. I think they need to have processes and they need to have familiarity about where players are going to stand, which pass to make, how many options they have. Passing in diamonds. I think some of the tactical stuff that I've seen on Amorim is there's always a diamond with around someone with the ball, no matter where you look. And that's how you progress the ball forward, because there's loads of passing lanes, loads of options. And I think that probably isn't in the United team at the moment. And if you formulate that plan, then maybe it's easier for the players to take a moment, take a touch and turn with the ball or pass it and move it forward and advance it. Now it just looks a little bit like, I'll get the ball and let's see what I'm going to do with it. And that's kind of what happened against Chelsea. And it didn't come out looking very good. But look, I think excited for Amorim to come in. It's a week until then. Obviously, there's two games until then. I'll be back on Friday to talk about what we see in the Europa League on Thursday. Look, United need to win that game. It's a big demand to put on Van Nistelrooy, but it's Pauk at home. You know, United should be winning this. Something akin to what we saw against Leicester the other day, I think, would be lovely. Just put some goals in, make the people in attendance like enjoy it, bring the feeling up a bit, and try and repeat that against Leicester in the league on Sunday. And then two wins going into the appointment of a new head coach, being up the league table in both of those competitions will be good. And we can build from there and go from there. But look, I'll be back after that game, after that Pauk game on Friday, unless something happens in between, just to, run through what I've seen there. And then we can go from there to look forward a little bit more to Amorim's appointment and his official unveiling as manager. We'll see when United do that. But it's due to start on Monday, the 11th of November. So 1 week to go. This has been the Promise Am podcast. It's been probably 35 minutes by the end. So thanks for listening. If you have been, thanks for watching. If you have been, Apple, Spotify for the audio, YouTube on video as well. Thanks for all your support recently. Thanks for your comments. And really, really appreciate the support. Please subscribe if you've not done so already on any of those platforms. Leave a comment on the YouTube video as well. I would love to do, as I mentioned the other day, I'd love to do a Q&A of some of your thoughts and opinions. And maybe I will do that at some point when I can. Maybe in the international break, actually, is the right time to do it. Because obviously we'll see Amorim come in. And there might be a few quiet days. Maybe some social media videos and pictures coming out. But maybe that's the right time to do it. So please get your comments in. Get in touch with me as well on social media at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok. And look, at least United didn't lose 3-0 at home to a Big Six rival. I will finish with that in my little sarcastic tone. And I'll be back on Friday for more on Manchester United. And until then, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you soon for another Promised Land podcast. Until next time.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.